Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Here, our waters are splashing and rejuvenating. Our history is for seeing and experiencing. Our theme parks are for riding and sometimes flying. And our great outdoors are yours for exploring and restoring. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
God's presence was just heavily over me, and I've dreamt about this for a long time.
OJ, the Jamaican sensation, Osborne.
I'm so fucking happy. Mira, Mexico, man.
Brandon, the assassin, baby.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are being fired because we're off Wednesday.
Don't fall like that. You're going to get people scared.
Okay, I apologize. I misspoke. Yeah, no, we just to let you know, they want us to let you know that for Thanksgiving, because they do, they demand a lot of shows out of us, and they are actually giving us a day off. The fact that I'm acting like this is like a hard job, I should be smashed in my face. It's a fun job. So, and also they wanted me to mention, and I forget to mention too, Matt, UFC Unfiltered on Twitter. We did get that back. Correction. Daddy got it back because I just sent a DM to the guy and asked him nicely for it. And then he finally like checked his DMs. Like, yeah, no problem. And he gave it back.
I'm not on Twitter, but hey, you know who knows on Instagram? Loopy.
Oh, yes.
Loopy won the other day. Loopy did awesome.
I am on Instagram and I've been posting a lot on Twitter and Instagram, just stand up clips. I kind of like that.
Oh, I like it too, Jimmy. I like when you bomb.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I don't like when you pop. I'm joking.
No, I do. I love those posts.
I'm like, what is this? It's making me uncomfortable. They're talking during your set. I don't like that shit, Jimmy. You know what I mean? I don't think I'd handle that well. Hey, I did my buddy Christian Olof's The Big Thing podcast the other day. And also did my buddy, that's a geek website. I just thought about that when I was lifting up my Boba Fett cup. We had a good time. We talked about Dune. Stuff like that. Jimmy, you know what I'm watching on Netflix? Oh, by the way, I was going to say, I did my buddy Chris Lytle's website.
Podcast
also. Chris Lytle, the one who gave me this nice scar.
Yeah.
What a good man. Dude, I did that thing like for fucking over 2 hours. We talked about a lot of things. And it's funny because he did it with like a partner of his and these two other guys. And then halfway, he's at the firehouse. He had to go. It was a fucking ending.
Oh, wow. He's a firefighter.
I hear the alarm going. I go, oh, wow, man. You literally live that shit, Chris Lytle.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy, I know we're getting the champ on soon, no?
Today?
Brandon
Moreno. Yes. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you meant he was first. Brandon Moreno.
You hesitated a second. So you
maybe- No. Because I wasn't sure if you were talking. I was thinking of Stipe for some reason because you're talking about firefighters. And I'm like, oh, who's first today? Ode Osborne is making his first appearance. And Brandon Moreno is returning to the show. And Brandon is actually first. Yes.
Yeah. And he's having the trilogy match.
Against, Davison Figueiredo, January 22nd at 270 co-main in Anaheim, California. That's a great card, Matt.
They fought twice, correct?
Yeah. Well, there was a majority draw. And then he rear naked choke in the last one, round three.
Yeah, he just put a stamp on it. And my point being, Jimmy, is that I wanted to know what Brandon thinks of Figueredo working with Henry Cejudo.
Yeah.
You know he's been working.
That's right. Yes.
You know, Figueredo. Sorry, Jimmy. This is the thing. I just started this new series on Netflix. I just started this new series called Cowboy Bebop. Now look, that's Jimmy. I know I've been I linked to things that might be a little trial. Wait.
Cowboy Bebop. All right, you know what? Let's reset. Say I apologize. I won't react.
Don't, Jimmy,
what's it called?
Well, listen, first of all, can I just explain?
What's it called?
Before I tell you what it's called.
Sure.
It is based on an old, from the 90s, an anime series. That's
okay.
So there's a little controversy because I've heard about it. I'm not into anime. I don't watch it at all. I don't like
me neither.
But this is a live action one with the kid, the guy from Harold and Kumar, he's in it, and some other people are in it. But anyway, there's a live action version of the anime. Okay.
What's it called? This?
Jimmy, you're not, wait a second. Stop. You don't have an open mind. I see your face already.
I do.
You know what? Well, listen, it's based on the anime series.
Right.
Live action. And it's called, listen, it's called Cowboy Bebop.
Ooh.
Oh, now Brandon's ready to go.
Thank God. Thank God.
Pues finalmente, como nunca.
Oh, voice like an angel.
Oh, there he is!
Voice like an angel.
Hello, guys.
Hey,
you're
Brandon.
You're singing, you have Legos. That's why you're one of my favorite champions ever.
Thank you so much, Matt. Actually, this is my room, my office.
is that where you go to work on the Legos?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I have a huge collection here, man.
Oh, wow.
When did you get into Legos? Wow.
That's cool.
At the end of the 2018, I started to collect Legos.
It's a good hobby too during the pandemic, right? Because we're all stuck in the house, so it's good you had a hobby you could just kind of do in the house by yourself.
Yeah, man. So I had an injury in 2018, and I was in the house because I needed to take too much time with rest. I'm just a start. My wife went. She supposedly we went to a party, a kid's party, and she had the gift, but she never went to the party. And I opened the gift and it was on a Lego set. And I start, you know, I was born in my house, so I started to build the Lego. I was a good time, and I just started to collect Legos, just like that.
And I've heard of that before, though. It's not like it's just for kids. There's more than adults are like Legos. It's almost like putting together puzzle or something,
right?
You can find like very easy Lego sets, or you can find a huge Lego set. For example, this one, let me show you.
Yeah, let me see.
Yeah,
that one is huge.
Oh yeah, what is it?
Is the Daily Bugle from Spider-Man?
Heck yeah.
How many pieces, Brandon?
That one was like almost almost 4,000, I think so.
Oh wow, that's big. Okay.
Wow, I don't think I'd have the patience.
I spend like 2 weeks, 2 hours per day, something like that.
Do you have kids?
I have kids, but my room is closed for that.
Oh, you don't let them come in and like start all knocking your Legos around?
Never.
Okay.
I mean, my older daughter, she understands what happened here. But my other daughters, I mean, they have 3 years and 1 year, so they don't understand. So that's why their room is closed always.
And your wife supports it.
Ah, of course. Man.
You're not out at happy hour. You're playing right. Legos. You're putting that. You know what I mean? Hey, Brandon, do you ever watch anime or no? You ever know what anime?
Sometimes, you know, the most popular, you know, Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, Dead Note, just the popular ones.
Did you ever hear of, what is it, Jimmy? Cowboy Bebop.
What's it called?
Cowboy Bebop.
Oh.
That's a movie in Netflix, no?
You know what? They just came out with a live action version of Cowboy Bebop. Jimmy loves the title. Cowboy Well, Cowboy Bebop's the name of their intergalactic bounty hunters, Jimmy.
Oh, I understand. I thought it was awful. Okay, that makes sense. I was concerned.
Jimmy's not open-minded. But anyway, it's a live-action version of the anime series. So I just I don't watch the anime. I can't get into the anime too much.
Yeah, no, I mean, I watch just the populars, you know, all Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, Death Note.
Yeah.
Ippo Makanauchi is amazing. You know, the anime about boxing?
I'm not sure of that one. I heard of One Punch Man. That's
another one. I saw that one. It's good too. Just the first season.
Yeah, some people like that. So I don't know. So I started watching that live action series and I'm digging it. You know, I didn't know if you watched it or not.
Man, you know, I mean, right now it's like I'm trying to put my schedule in order because I don't have too much time, you know. Obviously, I need to, I need to do my practices and I need to spend time with my family, the interviews. So I try to find some little space in my day to do a kind of hobby, you know, my Legos or something like that. So I don't have too much time to watch TV or so, you know.
How has life changed for you as the champion? Like, how is what's new and different? And like, you have extra pressures, I guess, but also more recognition.
I'm just a busy man. It's crazy because it's a kind of the same, but I mean, like more interviews, you know, and the people sometimes don't understand because they watch me in the, you know, in television, in different interviews with different people, but the people don't understand at the same time when I'm doing those interviews, I'm putting on my schedule with my practices. So, you know, all the time is, you know, to try to, again, put everything in order, you know, practices, my compromises with the media, and, you know, spend time with my family. It's hard. And to be honest with you, sometimes it's like I feel like a crazy man, but it is what it is, and I understand. And I right now, I'm more like made sure to support all the depression with all of this.
You know, I'll tell you, you're such a classy champion. I mean, you've seen power. You've seen power just corrupt people or else bring out some demons because everybody's, you know what I mean? That's what I've seen that with other fighters. And I could never see Brandon doing anything to really upset anybody. You're such a nice guy. Like I don't see the power corrupting you. Like I don't know. You're such a mature kid, but 27. Holy shit, man. I can only... Right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Shit, man, I'm still trying to mature. I'm 47. You know? Well, I don't know, man. Is that part of your upbringing? I mean, Jamie likes that, Brandon. Brandon, I mean, how was your upbringing with your parents? I mean, they must have really instilled that in you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I have a really good influence with my parents. They teach me a lot of good things, you know? Obviously, I grew up watching them, like, working so hard for us. Because I always say the same, like I never had like real problems in my life or necessities or something like that. But my parents, they have another different history. They start from zero, like from nothing. And they build the piñata business and they start from there and they start to put a better life for my brothers and I. So. Yeah, I grew up watching that, and the sport wasn't another huge important part of my life, right? Because I started to with my, you know, my coach gave me a lot of good ideas about respect, about discipline, about, you know, about life. And you know, my first daughter born when I had 20 years old, and definitely I remember when my first daughter born, like all my mind changed 100%. I mean, before my daughter, I feel like a little bit mature. I mean, like a different Brandon Moreno. But when I saw my first daughter, you know, everything was real. But like, man, I need to change this because this is serious.
Well, you're doing something right, buddy. Change the world. This is great. What do you think of Figueredo working out with Henry Cejudo? Does that mean anything to you?
You know, it's too much drama in this. And to be honest with you, at first I was a little bit disappointed and a little bit sad.
Oh.
But right now it's like I don't care. And I understand Figueiredo. He's trying to do something different for this fight, right? He needed, because last fight was a complete domination by myself. So he need to do something different for this one. And maybe he can think, or the people can think, you know, you are the champion and now you start to train less or something like that. But man, my goal is to beat this guy, and my goal is to defend my title like 100 times. I don't know, man. You know, so yeah, I'm very focused in my training camp right now. I'm in Las Vegas, but actually this weekend I go to Tijuana to start the harder part of my training camp. So man, I'm ready. And you know, if Henry Cejudo can help this guy to do something different and something better in the fight, the people can enjoy that.
And Brett, how did the Davison, this is the third straight fight with Davison. I don't know if I've seen that yet, where guys fight three times in a row consecutively. Was there talk about somebody else? Askarov, I think his only draw is against you. He's 13-0, and except for the draw with you. Was he considered at all, or was Davison an immediate decision? How did this happen?
I don't have the enough power yet to decide what happened with me, you know, in my next fight. So everybody was talking, you know, in social media, everywhere, talking about my next opponent. A lot of people talk about Askarov. A lot of people talk about Pantoja. But the first official offer from the UFC was Figueiredo, because I think Askarov has a little injury or something like that, they told me. I don't know, to be honest. I'm not sure. And Pantoja had an injury in his knee, I think. Oh. So that's why I think anybody was like available to fight against me. And I don't want it to wait until, you know, in that moment, I don't want it to wait until next year to fight. Obviously, at the end of the day, UFC moved on my fight until January. So either way, but yeah, I mean, what's the official offer from the company?
Would you like another shot at Pantoja? Is that one that you want? You want another shot at him?
You know what? The last fight I had against him, my mind was in another place. And in that moment, I took the fight because I wanted to beat him, because he beat me in the past, right? But I really believe that mentality wasn't the correct mentality. Right now, I want to fight against him because I want to prove myself. I want to watch my evolution, my development in this sport. That's why I want to fight against him. But man, I'm the champion. I'm not running for anybody. You know, they need to get the opportunity to fight against me. So yeah, I'll be fighting against him again in the future. So I'm just waiting for the perfect time. Right now it's Figueiredo, and I'm excited to watch what is new from him in this trilogy.
Hey, I'm reading here, like, well, people know you as the first Mexican-born UFC champion, which is phenomenal.
Thank you.
You took it a step further, saying that you want to be the Julio Cesar Chavez of MMA. Which is wild. I grew up watching him in boxing. He's a legend in boxing and Mexican fighter. What does he mean to you, Julio Cesar Chavez?
You know, I'm a Mexican. So, like, if you're a Mexican, you know who is that guy. You know, even if you like or not boxing, you know who is Julio Cesar Chavez in the country. So, man, the door is open, right? The sport is a kind of new in the world. Imagine in Mexico, it's more new in the country. So the door is open right now. I'm making history. You know, I'm trying to have too much respect from, I don't know, like Cain Velasquez. I'm trying to have too much respect from, you know, Henry, right? Because they put in some point the country in a high level, right? For example, when Cain Velasquez went to Mexico with the Ultimate Fighter Latin America, the first season with UFC 180, I mean, the level and the sport in the country evolved too much. So I put in the respect on them. You know, I just want to say to the people, like, hey, I born here. I have the same opportunities like you. And even with that, I'm the champion right now. So you can do it. You can do the same. Obviously, the opportunities around the world change a lot. I understand that. I just want to put a little inspiration in the people more here in my country where, you know, sometimes the opportunities and, you know, the world is crazy in my country. So, yes, man, if I can do it, I know I can do it.
Now, you don't expect to have as many fights. He was, I was just looking up, was 87-0 before he finally had a draw. He was 87 straight wins. And I think Julio's final record was it 107-6 with two draws. I mean, it's an incredible, very, very prolific career he had.
Oh, man, of course. I mean, I'm not trying to compare the record because in boxing, it's a little bit different, you know. In mixed martial arts, you can have, like, too many injuries for the wrestling, for the Brazilian jiu-jitsu, the hands, the knees. You can have too much problems in mixed martial arts. So that's why I think the careers are a little bit different. But talking about the name, talking about, you know, the history, the important history of the boxing for Julio Cesar Chavez, because he built a lot of the boxing there in Mexico. So, man, I can do the same with the mixed martial arts. I'm sure of that. I'm very confident.
And you said his bout against Meldrick Taylor.
Yeah, oof, that fight.
It's like a metaphor for your own life. Is that why is that? Because of the way it went down in the ending? That was a great fight.
Man, everybody think that fight put the name of Julio Cesar Chavez in another place, like a legend, you know? Because he was losing that fight and won in the last round. With a knockout, man, the people was crazy. I love to watch the repetition, the video, because it's history. You can feel it.
Unfortunately, it put Meldrick Taylor in another place also.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Right? I mean, that's the hard.
His career go down.
The horror show with the boxing.
Yeah, that was stopped. I want to say the referee was Richard Steele, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was.
And I don't know how much time was in that. Was it the 15th round or were they doing 12 rounds? And I don't remember.
I think it was 12 rounds.
He doesn't regret it, though. I remember watching a special on that.
Okay.
And he said, look, I don't regret stopping it when I did. When I seen a fighter that had enough, he had enough. And obviously, if you see the repercussions, he had enough. You know, why wouldn't let him take another punch? But other people are arguing that he should have got to let him survive it because he took that beating.
How many seconds were left?
Man, I don't remember, but it's like
under 10 or something. I think it's something ridiculous.
Under 10.
Because they were saying that he sort of should have saw like the red light that led, or the light on the thing that it like says that there's only less than 10 seconds. So, man.
Yeah, that's why it's so historic, that fight.
Yeah, it is. It is, because that was going to be his first loss.
That would have been his first loss, yeah.
You know?
Actually, he had a lot of interviews saying, like, he was saying, I knew if I went to the scorecards, I was losing, so I needed to finish that Meldrick Taylor.
I'm trying to see how many seconds were left, but it doesn't matter. I mean, even without that fight, I mean, Chavez is one of the best fighters of all time. I mean, even if he lost that fight, it would still have been 86-0-1. I mean, you know. An incredible record. Have you met him? Have you gotten to speak to him?
Man, no, I don't have the opportunity yet to meet Julio. Actually, I was talking with some of his team, but I don't have the opportunity yet, but maybe soon, because I think he lives in Tijuana. I'm from Tijuana and he lives there, I think so. So the possibility to meet him is like very, very clear.
2 seconds. There were 2 seconds left.
Oh my God. Oh shit.
It's nothing.
That is amazing. Hey, listen, Brandon, you were on Megan O'Leary's podcast, what is it, Becoming a Fighter. And you talked about your early career and your training. And I think it was your first time ever sparring at 12 years old. And I think it didn't go great. I think it was a hard time, a hard sparring session. I want to hear about that. And I want to hear, how come you weren't discouraged after that? What made you stay the course? Some people, they think they want to be a fighter, whatever age, 12 or 20. I don't care. They get hit and they go, okay. Maybe they didn't go well. And they're like, all right, listen, they rethink it. What were you thinking after that sparring session at 12?
Man, so let me, you know, let me talk about all the history about that day, you know. Horrible day for me. I mean, horrible day, but a lot of experience, and I proved myself like a real fighter in the life. Because, you know, yeah, I had 20 years old, and the other kid had like 10 years old. Like a little chubby kid. Like nothing impressive, but in that moment I had like 2 or 3 weeks training, and the other kid had like 1 year, 1.5 year. He had experience more than me, at least. But man, he beat my ass like horrible.
A little chubby 10-year-old beat your ass.
I remember myself just running around the gym, you know, trying to do something, you know, like move my head or just don't be a target for this kid, because he was like kicking me, throwing me punches and everything. And yes, I was, when the training was over, I was very mad with myself, like, fuck. But yes, like you said, other people maybe will be like, okay, that's it for me. I don't want to do this anymore, or I just want to do this, like just practice, just technique, something like that. But to me, it was like, okay, was fine. Just give me 6 or 7 months, and I promise this will be different. And that happened, because I remember after like maybe no 6 or 7 months, but around that time, I beat his ass. I did it.
Oh, you got that. You probably put a picture of that little fat kid on your refrigerator. And you probably like, no, I was going to wonder if you never got him back. And like, imagine he's still a fat guy now. And he's like watching. He's like, I used to beat his ass. And you know, they're like, shut up, Harold. Listen, it would be great if there was a video of him and you sparring as kids. And you could do something like, how it started, you getting beat up by a little fat kid, and then how it's going, and when you on top of Figueroa.
Well, how old were you, Brandon, when that happened?
12 years old. Very, very young.
Oh, I misunderstood you. I thought you said he was 10 and you were 20. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I was listening to that. No. I think I heard 20. I'm like, a 10-year-old. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. I don't know why I thought that.
You'd be in the wrong. Then maybe, you know. Maybe.
Yeah, I knew I heard something wrong. Okay.
That happened at 20. And that 10-year-old beat him up.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I started training at 2006. I had 12 years old and everything. I started from there.
Okay.
Actually, in that moment, I don't knew nothing about mixed martial arts, nothing about Brazilian jiu-jitsu or kickboxing, wrestling. And, you know, unless in Mexico, in that moment, was very hard to try to watch fights, you know. Pride or UFC, because, you know, no mixed martial arts in cable or something like that. I remember me watching highlights of mixed martial arts in YouTube, you know, in internet. I'm starting to know about the fighters.
And look at you now.
Yeah, look at you now. Well, the first two fights with Davison were really, really great. I thought he was very gracious in defeat. And a third fight, I mean, nobody minds this fight. This is a great, great fight. And you're on a great card. Ngannou Gan is a great card. January the 22nd in Anaheim, UFC 270 at the Honda Center. And Brandon, you know, you're a great champion, and we look forward to this fight very much, and hopefully talk to you again soon after.
Thank you, guys. Yes, I mean, I'm very excited to fight in Anaheim, you know. It's like 2 hours driving from my house, from my hometown in Tijuana.
Oh, nice. Easy.
Yeah. So Tijuana, you cross the border, you need to take the freeway, and just, I mean, 1.5, 2 hours, depends traffic, but it's very, very close. And right now the border is open for tourist visas. You know, before for the pandemic, the border was closed for tourist visas. But right now it's open, so everybody can go from Tijuana to Anaheim. It's very, very close. And then, you know, I know it's the main event is, you know, heavyweights, Cyril Gane, Francis Ngannou, but I'm very, very confident. Like, a lot of Mexicans support me. Man, I'm the main event of the people, man. I don't know. I feel like that.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, dude. We're watching you. We can't wait, man. I mean, if it's anything like those first two fights, everybody's in for a treat, man.
Yeah. Have a great fight, man. It's always good talking to you.
Thank you so much for the time, guys. Have a nice day.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by P3, the official protein snack of the UFC. P3 portable protein packs are a savory and crunchy combination of three dynamic sources of protein from meat, cheese, and nuts. Each P3 pack contains up to 13 grams of protein, and they come in great tasting combinations like turkey, almond, and Colby Jack. P3, three dynamic ways to fuel your day with protein packed meat, cheese, and nuts, because three is better than one.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Scramble through our world-class golf courses or shop your way through the square. Be one with nature as you hike or bike through our parks and trails or hunker down at one of our breweries. And when it's time to eat, be sure to bite into our eclectic food scene. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Brandon's such a what a
very nice guy.
Guy, man. I love a humble champion. You know, there's been a lot of respect lately.
Yeah.
In the MMA game. People have been showing a lot of respect. And I like it, Jimmy. I like it a lot.
And by the way, Matt, before Oday Osborne comes on, I want to say congratulations. Ketlin Vieira, a good fight. Misha Tate looked good. That was a really, really pretty fucking grueling fight. And Ketlin, I thought Ketlin 48-47, I was fine with that. I thought 49-46 was a little lopsided.
Jimmy, it's very unprofessional, but I have to address something.
Right? Sure.
With you.
Okay.
I'm kind of calling you out on it.
Okay.
Okay, Jimmy?
Sure.
I'm being serious now. Look at me.
I'm right here.
I'm not even smiling.
Oh, sorry.
Jimmy, there was a group text between me, you, and Antonio the other day.
Yes.
And it was about starting a little earlier today. You know, we had to get Brandon on, and I said, yes, I can. And you said, yes. And then afterwards, I don't know if you could see, if you could read.
Oh, you know what?
I wrote, love you, Jimmy. And I did a little emoji like this. Like,
that's very nice.
My favorite emoji.
I didn't see it.
And then, you know, and then I'm like, gang, and I saw a thumbs up on that.
Okay. So I just wrote back. I hadn't seen that.
Oh, that's first of all, Jimmy. Jimmy, this is.
I hadn't seen it until
you just wrote right now. Yeah, yeah. That's not even.
I didn't mean to.
That's not even nice. I don't know.
I apologize. No, you did say that. Love you, Jimmy. Talk then, gang. And I probably just saw talk then, gang, or the reminder.
Well, you know what it was? I wrote love you, Jimmy, and then there was nothing back.
I didn't
even
see.
Then I waited, and I looked back in like another couple of minutes. And then I wrote back, talk then, gang, because I didn't want to leave it like that, where nobody answers me.
I'm not good with emojis, but let me see. I'm going to put.
Say you're not good with emojis.
I'm not.
I say you're not good with emotions.
There. Okay. I sent it back with a nice emoji.
I'm not driving when I wrote that. You did it. I love you. And I believe if I'm correct, that's an eggplant emoji.
Yeah.
That's
not like a thumbs up.
It's not correct at all.
Oh, I apologize.
That's not a thumbs up. That was an eggplant emoji. Listen, so back to Cowboy Bebop. I do get past the name. Past the name.
I can't.
You know what's funny? Because this is what happens. I give a new show a chance by myself usually when I'm having.
Yeah.
I'm in the bathroom a lot. I got stomach problems.
Understandable.
Or I'm shaving my head or whatever I'm doing. I got my nice sized iPad. I love my iPad. So it makes big size. So I watch. So I started this show. And this is what I do. I start a show, and if I like it, and I like this one, it got me right away. I go, this is fun. This is fun. Bounty hunters in space, and it's just, it's done. I'm digging it, you know? And then, so I have to stop immediately. And then I go to my wife, and I go, look, I got a new show for us. Because this is what's going to happen. I'm going to end up liking it and talking about it.
Right.
And then my wife's going to be like, hey, you know, you watched the show without me. And I can't do that. And then I feel bad. Because, you know, we're a team. Sure. So I said, honey, I have a new show for us. And I said, Cowboy Bebop. And she went, ooh. She didn't do what you did.
Oh.
She goes, ooh, what's that? I go, I'll tell you what that is. And I started showing. And I go, look, it's the Harold from Harold and Kumar, but he's really cool. And listen, it's about space bounty hunters and they get mixed up in some hijinks. I'm liking it. I know there was some controversy with the hardcore fans about either the casting or the way they're dressed. Or, I don't know. I'm not a purist with this stuff. So I got nothing to relate it to. But if you're in the mood for a good time, give that cowboy, say it with me.
Cowboys.
Bebop.
Bebop.
It's fun, Jimmy, right?
So cowboy.
Just, you say, I'll say cowboy. You say.
Okay.
Ready? Cowboy. You say. I don't
know. It was a mistake. All right, let's try it again.
You're a legend in radio and everything else. You don't deserve this.
I'm a mistake.
Let's just keep moving along.
Cowboy.
Back to talking about Caitlin Vera.
All right.
Hey, let me tell you about the fight the other day. Mm-hmm. Misha Tate was in that fight, though.
Oh, yes, she was.
She was in that fight. Yeah, she was, but she was having a hard time as well. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that Caitlin Vera is she looked big. She's big compared to Misha. It's like, she's hard to get down. The other, they're like, yo, just throw your punch. Her corner's like, throw
really
your punch.
Big.
Let her try. They're like, let her try to take you down.
Yeah.
You know, because they had that much confidence in her not getting taken down.
She was, I didn't realize how big she was. You're right. She was very, very big. She had a lot of, a really good reach. I don't know what the reach advantage was, but Misha, a lot of times you could tell, was trying to get in, and Misha was throwing some really heavy shots and missing again, because she was having a little bit of trouble closing the distance at times. But you know what? I still thought Misha, for the second fight back after a 4.5 year layoff, looked good though. Even though she lost the fight, she went the distance. She proved she can still go five hard rounds, grueling rounds.
What I like about Misha is that she stays her course. She doesn't get like discouraged.
Right.
And it's easier to get discouraged, and especially when it's not going your way. And she's shown in her past, like, how she won the title versus Holly Holm. She wasn't winning that fight, but she won because she stayed the course, and she got that one opportunity. She got her back, and she strangled her.
That's right.
In that fifth round, ended up getting the belt. Yo, let's get
Ode Osborne.
Let's get Ode Osborne in here.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Scramble through our world-class golf courses or shop your way through the square. Be one with nature as you hike or bike through our parks and trails or hunker down at one of our breweries. And when it's time to eat, be sure to bite into our eclectic food scene. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
There he is. Where are you right now, buddy?
I'm at the Stratosphere. I'm staying at the Strat Hotel. So it's my girl's first time in Vegas. So, you know, I'm like, I don't want to have her stay at my house, you know, so I'm going to give her the Vegas experience. So I was like, you know, we'll stay at the Strat.
Now, I've been in the Stratosphere. I'm afraid of heights. There's a thing you can do in the Stratosphere where you kind of have a controlled descent off the top of it. It's not jumping, because you just kind of, you leap off, but then they lower you very quickly. It's like falling. Have you done that, or would you do it?
No, my girl's into that stuff. I'm no, I'm not gonna jump out of anything unless it's an airplane or unless it's on fire.
Yeah. Have you done airplane before? Have you done that?
No, I want to though. I really want to do skydiving. That's on my bucket list. That's something I really want to do. But stuff like off the side of a building and stuff, that gives me too much anxiety.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It is, right? I fight in a cave, but I can't jump off the side of a building.
Some people they're like, you know, like, you have a problem with heights. It's like, not that you have a problem with heights, but who really likes heights? Who really says, right. Oh, no, I love it.
Right. Dude, my girl is crazy. She loves stuff like that. Like, when we're in the airplane and the airplane, like, does, like, crazy with turbulence and stuff, she loves that stuff. She's like a, like, she loves thriller. Yeah.
She's not scared in turbulence?
No, she loves it. I'm like freaking out. You know what I mean? I'm squeezing her hand. Like,
that's such a gift. People who can sleep really easily and somebody who enjoys turbulence, like the bouncing, they think it's fun. That's a gift. I would give anything to have that.
Me too. I'm like, my stomach, I get major anxiety. I just get such bad anxiety when it starts turbulence. Cause I go to the worst. The plane is going down.
Yeah. And it never does. It never goes down in turbulence.
No. It's actually a plane. They say it's way more secure in the air because than it is on the ground. Because on the ground, you know, you can have rust and all kinds of stuff on the ground. You know, there's all objects and rust can happen. But in the plane, sorry, in the air, a plane is actually the most safe. But even knowing that fact, I'm like, nah.
It's almost because it's out of your control type of thing, maybe.
It is a control. Yeah. Right. I don't have control over my fate, my destiny. I'm just like, I pray. I'm like, God, I'm closer to you in the air. Can you please help me make it to where I'm going safely?
Hey, O'Day, listen, it's your first time on here. To get to know you a little bit, what was your first art you started and where did you grow up?
So I've only been here in Vegas. So just to start, just to let you know, I've only been here in Vegas for 9 weeks. I was a teacher last year. I've been teaching for 6 years and I, you know, quit my job 9 weeks ago, moved out to Vegas. It sucked because I love teaching.
What do you teach?
English and math. I was an assistant teacher, but I taught English and math.
Oh, wow.
For how old? For students?
Fifth and sixth grade.
Wow.
And so I was born in Jamaica. I came here at the age of 9. Jamaica is very impoverished. You know what I'm saying? Like you see palm trees and sand and water and beauty when you see it on TV, but living there is a different concept. You know, if you live in Kingston where I came from, it's like the slums, you know, it's very poor. I walked around, I said I was barefoot, didn't have much, I didn't have anything. My mom moved here when I was 7 to try to get away and start a life to bring me here, to give me more, because she wanted more for me. And she did that. She worked her ass off for 2 years and brought me up here at the age of 9 in Brooklyn. And then 2 years after that, sorry, 2 months after I moved here, the World Trade Center happened and we moved to Florida. And that's where I got into wrestling. So I got into high school wrestling, first middle school, but then high school wrestling and I started wrestling and I fell in love with it. I was playing football actually. And I played with some elite level players. Nick O'Leary, I think he plays for the Raiders now. Jacoby Brissett, he's the quarterback for the Dolphins. We had a bunch of NFL players in my grade level alone, you know, that I'm friends with that. We have group chats and stuff because we all made it. Like, our high school was a stud for sports, predominantly because it was, high school was like smack dab in the middle of the suburbs and the inner city. So you had a mix of, you know, wealthy kids and super poor kids going to school together and playing sports together. And I think for me, what that did was I was the product of self-sabotage, right? I always self-sabotaged everything I touched because growing up, I always thought that nothing was ever going to come to chance. Like, I always thought, but everything, anytime something big would happen to me, it would always just get taken away. Every single time, I was always close to something like a breakthrough. My mom and I were close to a breakthrough. Something bad would happen, like we get evicted or something terrible would happen, you know? So in my head, I developed this thing where wrestling tournaments, for example, in college, I beat the number one ranked kid in the nation, number one seed. And then I lost to a kid to be All-American. I lost to a kid that I pinned at the conference tournament. Why? because if I controlled my fate in self-sabotaging, it's less painful than it happening to me. I love psychology, by the way. That's like my, that's a big thing for me.
Wow.
And so going to school with kids who are really, really wealthy, like the school that I came from, I think it helps inner city kids to self-sabotage less, because you're used to seeing success. So that way, if you're used to being around successful people, you know, they invite you to their house, they help you out, you're less likely to self-sabotage, because you have less, your success is closer than you think. But when you're not used to it, you constantly think it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So what happens is you don't do it on purpose. You know, no one says, I'm going to go out there and quit. It's just a thing that
it happened. It's there.
Yeah, it happens. And I know every time it happened, but I didn't quite know what it was. And that a lot of that came from trauma and a lot of other shit. Sorry, a lot of other stuff.
That's okay. Fine. You did that. Shit all day. But you overcame it, though.
I did. It took me a lot, man. It took me so much meditation and praying and just finding out who Odey Osborne was. And actually losing fights. So like I lost my first fight to Brian Kelleher on the Conor McGregor card in the UFC. He got me in a guillotine. And I was like, why did I let myself tap from that guillotine? You know, it was deep. Yes. But I am an animal. I could bust out of anything. And I didn't give 110%. I probably gave 75%, you know, because of that self-sabotagation. You know what I mean? I was on a big card. It was my UFC debut. I had thought like, oh man, I made it. But I wasn't focused into why I came to America. And yeah. I lost the immigrant mentality that I had, you know, because I always had that burning sensation growing up, having to prove to everybody else that I was deserved to be loved. That was the whole thing.
Did you fight a lot when you were a kid? Were you in an area of Kingston where there was a lot of fighting?
I fought a lot when I came to the States, actually. I didn't fight a lot in Kingston. I fought a lot when I came to the States. I fought a lot in high school.
Was it the neighborhood, or was it because you were from another country, or was it, what was it?
It was just, so when I came here, I spoke deep Patois. Obviously, you know, I can still speak Patois now. It's a language in Jamaica, but I spoke deep Patois, and my mom was always a stickler for grammar. She was just a huge stickler for grammar. And, you know, I was always one to speak proper English all the time. You know, when I'm with my friends, sometimes I'll change in slang and stuff. But I was always one to speak proper English. And I got picked on a lot because my mom was sent me to school with my shirt tucked in, and because she wanted me to have a representation of what, you know, what I should be like. And so I got picked on because I was Black and I spoke proper English. So people call me like, and I have my shirt tucked in, so people call me Urkel and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So I get picked on, but that didn't faze me. I always like, I don't know why. I loved to fight when I was, but I never picked it, but I love to fight because I always had something to prove. You know what I mean? Because when I was in Jamaica, my mom was here. I didn't have a lot of love from family members or friends or whatever. So I always felt like, why don't anybody love me? You know what I mean? So I always had a lot to prove.
Well, and in school, when you're fighting, you know, if you fight, even if you lose the fight, at least you've done something where the guy who fucked with you probably won't fuck with you again, because you, at least you fought him.
No, you're absolutely right. I was very well liked and very popular in school. I was friends with everybody, the nerds, the jocks, everybody. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen until the quote unquote baddest kid in the school picked on me. And you didn't end well.
Yeah.
Oh, you beat him.
After that, everyone was just like, oh shit, this kid Odey Osborne, this little nerdy kid, got some hands.
they're not putting you in no locker. That's not no. happening. Oh man, that's great.
Yeah. Well, look, congratulations on that win. What did you think of CJ coming in? He missed, I think, by, 127.4 he came in.
Yeah.
Were you tempted to not fight, or were you always knew you had to fight that fight?
So there's two types of people in this world. There's the type of people that fight for the glory and the crowd, And then there's people that don't care if there's a crowd, no crowd, miss weight, no miss weight, money, no money. They just want to fight. And that's the kind of person I am. So yeah, it sucks because no one's made weight yet at 25 for me. None of my opponents have made weight, you know, but at the end of the day, man, I think the UFC loves working with me because I say yes to everybody. Literally anyone they put in front of me, I'm like, yep, let's go. Because why else am I here if I'm not trying to prove that I'm the best? If I'm ducking people who I feel can beat me, I really don't think I'm the best that way, you know? So I'm going to say yeah to anybody.
Man, you treat them all like that high school bully.
Right. To answer your question, though, but to answer that question, I'll say, you know, he came up and apologized to me after the before I fought. Before the fight, he came up and he tried to do, you know, he tried to do the okie doke. He tried to put his elbow on the pole to get a little, to cheat the scale. And they cut, and the commission, like, slapped his elbow down. But that was smart. I was like, I'll give it to you. But he came up and apologized, and just, you know, I respected that he apologized for missing weight.
Hey, yo, you ever watch anime?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Did you ever hear of Cowboy Bebop?
No, I did not. That's one I've never heard.
They just made a live action show of it, and it's based on that anime series, and it's a live action show on Netflix. I'm watching it. And every time I say it, Jimmy's disgusted with the name.
I just can't. The name is too, it's offensively bad.
The name sounds bad.
It is.
I'm not going to lie.
That isn't badass. It's good. Poor Jimmy has to be open-minded.
Maybe I
might have to check it out. I've been into One Punch Man. Obviously, that's a well-known. And, you know, what, One Punch Man is the one everyone is my students, actually, that's something that we would bond with. We'd have an anime hour session. My students and I would just go on about anime, Naruto, One Punch Man, all this other anime stuff. But I haven't heard of that one.
No.
Jimmy, people love it.
All right, maybe.
Give the live-action version a shot, the Cowboy
Bebop. I'm waiting for the live-action version of Avatar, The Last Airbender.
M. Night Shyamalan, a llama ding dong. Didn't he try that shit?
Yeah, that shit was horrible.
I heard it was
bad. It was horrible. Yeah, but they're actually, it's a different company is making a live action Avatar, a series though on Netflix.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yes, it's coming in 2022. So look out for that.
Yeah, man, shoot, I'm a nerd. I love all that stuff.
Dude, me too. I'm a super nerd. That's why I love anime, crypto, fighting, and teaching. I'm a nerd. I nerd out about all four of those things, especially crypto. Don't even get me started on crypto. I will just.
Well, all right. Well, the next time you're on, we're going to talk crypto because I know a little bit about it. I actually sent an email to Ben Askren and he responded and gave me a little bit of a pointer. But the next time you're on, we'll talk crypto because there's a few questions. I'll have questions about crypto ready.
Oh, I am a nerd. Like I probably spend 7 hours a day just nerding out on crypto.
Good for you, man. Yeah, it's the way. Believe me, you'll be happy you did when you're 40 too.
Well, not only that too, because I want to change the game, right? I'm not just somebody who wants to invest and make money, which I do, but I want to change the game. You know, I want to bring cryptocurrency to Jamaica because Jamaica is so impoverished because, you know, when we're only 70 years independent. Think about that. 70 years independent from the British. It's not like they left us with a roadmap that said, all right, here's your roadmap. We're going to leave you guys with this. And this is how we made our commonwealth. And this is how you should make your commonwealth. They were just like, you know, we just bought them off and that was it. And then we had to figure out how it was going to work. Our money's not attached to gold or any of that. So, you know, it's this foundational structure of how that works now is not good at all. It's terrible. So I really would love to bring crypto and to educate my country on different ways of making actually a progress in financial gains because, you know, there's a lot of people there that have farms and crops and that's all they do. They make, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people, they have goats and a whole bunch of animals. My grandma had a ton of animals, a ton of crops. But the problem was she had to go all the way to take a bus all the way to what we call the market. And it's like an outside market. And she had to, you know, she spent hours, 8 hours a day at the market selling her goods. You know, now if there's something like crypto where you can trade your goods for crypto. And you know what I mean? The value of that never really goes up and down. It's just, but anyways, that's a story for another day.
Yeah, I'll definitely pick your brain about that next time you're on. Listen, it was good talking to you, man, and I'm happy things are going well for you, and I will we'll definitely talk to you again soon. We look forward to your next fight.
Thank you, thank you. You guys have a blessed rest of your day, and thank you again for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Next time we have him on, I'll pick his brain about crypto. I have a lot of crypto questions. Guys like that are invaluable too, because they know, like, he seems like an honest guy. So he would tell you stuff without, like, you got to watch what people tell you, because you never know if they're setting you up to look, you know, to wind up losing your crypto. I would trust him.
Yeah, I would trust him too. I like him. Jimmy, what a fun show.
Great.
Jump. Yeah. Let's just say I'm not going to be here next week. We're not going to be here Wednesday.
Right.
I mean, Thursday. People should know that. I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day. Gobble, gobble, Jimmy. And sorry about that, Jimmy. Sorry. Nope. Very cringy. That was very cringy.
Those are.
Not as much as Cowboy Bebop. But I will talk to you. And next week, I will be at Disney with my family. So
have fun, buddy. I'll talk to you over the weekend, I'm sure.
You got it. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Visit a live archaeological dig site on the very grounds where America began, or walk the fields where our country was won. Live like a colonial by day or track 18th century ghosts by night. For all the history to be found here, there's plenty more to make for yourself. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.